Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
Angela Butler. This afternoon, our topic is love and relationships, not just love between a man and a woman either. Also, healthy love is another topic we will cover. Our guest this afternoon is Danny Lovestrong. Danny is a writer, motivational speaker, living coach, teacher, and advocate of all things that revolve around manifesting healthy, authentic, mature, and stable relationships. Good afternoon, Danny. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I am doing good. How did you first begin to teach others about healthy love?
Oh, wow. It's been a couple of years now, but I would say I guess I started teaching individuals about healthy love way before I even became aware of it myself. And I say that only because in recent years I've had people share with me how as far back as 10, 15 years ago, I was instrumental in them growing and building their relationships in ways that other people had not helped them. But I can say honestly or cognizantly, I became aware of the fact that I was supposed to be a teacher in regards to love about 3 years ago. And at that time is when I actually started to walk in it fully. And that is something that I do with my whole life now.
Okay. How does a person attract love into their lives? How do they attract love?
That's a great question, and that's the first time that I've ever been asked that question before. The first thing that you have to do when it comes to attracting love into your life is to really get an understanding of what love is and to know what that feels like. You have to know love, what it feels like, and what it is in order to attract that to you. And the way to know love is really to tap into it from within, because love is something that we all are, and we all are created from loving energy. Love is life energy. So the first thing that I teach people is how to recognize love within themselves, for themselves, and to build that relationship with yourself in a loving way. At that point, once you've learned how to love yourself the way that you love others, the way that you desire to be loved by others, then you start to attract it, because that's the energy that you're putting out. And as everyone knows, what you put out into the world, whether it be physical or emotional or mental, or, you know, the energy you put out is the direct energy that you receive. So that's how you go about attracting love into your life, is by recognizing it, knowing it, being it, practicing it with yourself and with others, and it will come back to you.
As you probably know, the divorce rate is high here in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
How can married couples stay married, and what are the phases of love?
Well, you know, I can't really speak on how married couples can stay married from a firsthand experience, because I myself have yet to be married.
Okay.
But I do have
I'm not married
a lot of Now that does not mean that having not been married, you can't speak to what a healthy marriage is, because I have been blessed to have witnessed more marriage in my personal life than I have divorce or single parenthood. In my entire family that I can think of, as far back as almost 90 years of living people, I know of two divorces in all of that time, and my parents have been married, you know, from before I was born, and they still are today. So I would say, from my personal experience, what has kept marriages together has been a commitment, not just to each other, but to the marriage. It's not always pretty, and it's not always easy, but I would say, honestly, the one thing that I have seen is dedication to not, or the commitment and the to not giving up, regardless of how bad it is. You just get through those times, and I've seen individuals in my family, as well as, you know, close family friends and friends of mine, as an adult, who have been successful at marriage. Some as young as high school students, as soon as they graduated, they got married. They're still married today. And it's not an easy journey. Marriage is not a fairy tale. It is hard work. It's probably the hardest work that we'll ever have, aside from raising children. But it's something that you do, you go into with an understanding that this is it, you know.
Okay. All right. What are the phases of love that people go through?
Well, if you could maybe elaborate a little bit for me so I can answer that, you know, in the right way. What do you mean by that people go through?
The phases of love. What I'm talking about is the attraction stage, and then the other stages, the phases of love.
No, I think that the phases of love versus the phases of attraction or liking are, I don't think a lot of people actually go through the phases of love or don't allow themselves the time to go through the phases of what really lead to a genuine love. And I would say the first phase would be the phase of friendship and just getting to know an individual without any expectation of anything more coming out of it, you know, just really getting to know somebody, learning how to communicate with them, liking them as a person, enjoying their company and their time. And then from there, and usually even before that, there's attraction, which, you know, could be physical attraction. But aside from the physical attraction, you really do need to be attracted to the person's mind and their heart, their character. And then from there, you know, like I said, you go to friendship. And then from friendship, you start to grow with each other intimately. And I don't mean that in a physical sense. You know, that's something that each individual has to come to on their own, whether or not they want to, you know, get physical with someone or not, at whatever stage. But intimacy, a lot of people mistake as a physical connection, and it's not. It's just an intimate knowing of one another, a bond that you share with that person that you don't share with anyone else. It's just a it's a deeper level of knowing someone in very private, very personal. So I would say that, you know, intimacy then leads to romance, and then from romance you go into commitment, and hopefully at that point love. But it's all individual. You know, there's really a lot of people have mapped out the phases of love, and a lot of times people will skip over one phase or they want to rush it. But I think the key to really moving into love is just taking your time and allowing things to happen and progress naturally, and not being discouraged when things seem to take a little bit longer or they don't go according to what you would like. You know, a lot of that uncomfortable stuff is natural, and it's part of the excitement. It's a journey.
Yeah. What are the signs that you are in an unhealthy relationship? Like an unhealthy relationship, even though you're in love with someone?
I think one of the signs, one of the most important signs that you're in an unhealthy relationship is the way it makes you feel. If a relationship does not make you feel at home, if you don't feel completely comfortable with it, just like you would when you feel, you know, when you walk into your home and you just feel like, okay, I can take my coat off and I can sit down, I can relax, I can be myself, I can be naked in here, you know, and in a relationship you should be emotionally naked, you know, without any fear or, you know, any reservation. I would say that the moment that you feel as though you cannot be yourself, and that if you are yourself, that you will be, trying to find the right word, but if you're not comfortable.
What you're saying.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable. Now, that's just one thing, but that's, to me, that's the most important thing in
being
in a healthy,
comfortable with someone.
Well, being emotionally comfortable, but just really being in tune with the way that you feel about your situation, about your relationship. You know, a healthy relationship is very comfortable. It's not forced. You don't have to pretend to be anybody that you're not. You're not worried about saying the right thing or doing the wrong thing. You can just be yourself authentically and truthfully. And if you cannot be for some reason, that is a sign that, you know, something's not right. Another sign is the obvious signs, you know, physical abuse or verbal abuse or emotional abuse, guilt or just bickering, drama. Those are obvious signs that you're in an unhealthy relationship. But I think the most important one that most people overlook is that intuition, that knowing, that feeling in the pit of your stomach. When things feel good, you feel light. When it's not good for you, it's very heavy, very tense. It's not something that you run to.
Okay.
It's not something you look forward to.
Okay. All right. We've got one question before we go to break. What is the difference between authentic, mature love and attraction? How do you know the difference?
Authentic, mature love versus attraction. Ah, man. an authentic, mature love is, oh my, that's, you know, gosh, your questions are so deep.
Oh, okay.
They're good, they're good.
Okay.
I'll just have to share with you maybe the first time that I realized my first really authentic, mature love. It was something that took me by surprise. It's not at all based on attraction. An authentic, pure, genuine, mature love is when you love someone without looking to receive anything from that individual or from that relationship. You are simply wanting to be a vessel of love in that individual's life. You want to help that individual be their best self in any way that you can, or help them accomplish, see something come into fruition that they dream of. You really do put that person, that person's best interest in at heart, and you really do think about you think about them in a way that is selfless, and it has nothing to do with yourself. At the same time, a very authentic, mature love does not forget about self. You're able to love this person while loving yourself in the same way. As you're helping them, you're also thinking about your needs and what's comfortable for you. And when you're loving yourself while loving them in the same way, from a place of goodness and wanting what's best, you don't put yourself in a situation where things are imbalanced or things are uncomfortable for you but great for them. An authentic, mature love knows how to give and receive love from itself.
Yes.
Looking for nothing. Yeah, you're just
very
giving.
Well put. How do you know when you're mentally ready for marriage?
I love that question. You know when you are ready for marriage when you are able to love in that manner we just spoke of, in a very mature way. At the same time, I was one of the, it's good. I was one of those people I've always wanted to be a wife and mother. And for many years, in my own life, I thought I was ready to be married. You know, I had bought my home and I had everything, a great job and money in the bank, and I was, I was doing it. I was like, the only thing left is for me to get married. And I really believed that I was ready for that. And it wasn't until several years later that when I really was ready to be a wife, that I realized I was not ready to be a wife at all previously. And it's kind of something that, let me think how I can explain this. How do you know when you're ready to be?
We're going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back to Danny Lovestrong. Okay?
Sounds good. I'll answer that question when we get back from the break.
Okay. Well, I thought we were going to break.
Do you want me to answer the question?
Yeah, go ahead and answer the question.
Okay. I think you know when you're ready to be married, when you are in a place where you're ready to share your life with someone else, but not because you're lonely, not because you're lacking anything. You're ready to share your life with someone because your life for yourself, the way you feel, is good. And this is just my own personal revelation. You know, when a man and a woman come together, they should come together as two complete individuals, not as two halves of a whole, because there is no one else who is going to complete you. They may make your life more enjoyable than it is without their presence. But once you have done the work and you have filled in the gaps, and you're no longer looking to people to bring and fill those gaps, you know, bring something to your life or fill those gaps up for you, and you're at a place where you just have so much happiness and so much joy and so much to teach and share, and you're just ready to grow with someone and be an asset to their life, I think that's the time when you're ready to get married. Once you realize and learn how to love maturely without thinking selfishly and, you know, that's the time. When you are at a place where you're able to bring something good into someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking financially. It's more of an energy, you know, a spiritual energy. Then that's the time.
Okay. All right. That's very well put. Very well put. What about women and men who cannot show love, even in friendships? How do they learn to express love? Let's say people who've been through a traumatic experience as children. How do they learn to show love?
So are these people who've never seen love, or they just don't know?
No, they may have a traumatic event that happened in their lives, such as having abusive parents or having been sexually attacked as children, things like that. How do those people learn to show love? How do they learn to receive it and accept it, to express it?
Hmm.
Cannot really show love.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's many ways that people do show love. Not everybody shows love in the same exact manner. And, you know, I cannot speak to, you know, every situation where people have been abused and, you know, have had traumatic experiences in life. And, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist by any means. But okay. I have spoken with, and I too have experienced things in life that have been pretty hard to deal with. And, I've you know, counseled some people or coached some people who have been through some hardships, some really, really painful things. And learning how to love when you're not coming from a place of having experienced it in a while or you've been through some really tough things is a difficult thing to do. But for me, I can tell you the way that I really learned how to show love. You know, I've received some loving things from family and growing up, but I really personally learned how to love through my personal relationship with God and reading the Word, reading the Bible. Because to me, the Bible defines love. It's the only definition that I have found that clearly defines love. And so if somebody doesn't know how to love and they've been abused or they've been sexually abused and, you know, the first thing is to really, you know, and everybody has the right to believe whatever they choose to believe for themselves. But, you know, you have to find a source of love. And my source and my belief is that God is the source of love. And through his word, he gives countless examples of how it's done and how it's shown. And so that's how. Another thing is just really surrounding yourself with loving energy, people who are good, who are not seeking to get anything from you or use you or bring you down, you know, people who are you know, they see what's good about you, they encourage you, they uplift you, you know, and emulating those things. In people, the best, and sometimes you've been exposed to so much that is not good that, you know, people think that they're showing love or they think they're receiving love, but it's really a tainted, perverted version of love. Some people think lust is love, and it's not, and that's why, you know, honestly, the way to learn how to love, if you've never, ever experienced it and don't know what it is to have a loving relationship with God and to have a, you know, to have that as your guide.
Okay. We're going to try to go to break again, Danny.
Okay.
Well, we're going to try to go to break. We have with us on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Danny Lovestrong. Explain how confusion over masculine and feminine energy can cause confusion or rejection of traditional gender roles.
Okay, if you repeat that second half of your question, how does it cause confusion?
Explain how confusion over masculine and feminine energy mm-hmm. can cause confusion or rejection of traditional gender roles.
Well, that's a huge topic, and that's a big. I love the fact that you brought up masculine and feminine energy, because in today's society, we are all over the place when it comes to that. There's a lot of women running around that don't realize it, but they got little penises in their pants. And, you know, men, not everyone, but some of them seem to be taking on a more feminine role because of the overly aggressiveness of a lot of women. It does cause a lot of confusion when it comes to traditional roles, because there is no clear captain of the ship. There is no clear leadership in the home. It causes a lot of headbutting when you have no real masculine figure and no truly feminine figure. And the both two are so important. They balance each other out. I think that a lot of women are are afraid to really step into their femininity because they fear that, you know, a man may take advantage of them, or they may be, you know, too soft and too permissive, or maybe they don't believe that a man has the ability to lead, or they for whatever reason, they want to take the reins and make sure things happen. But it's really important that women learn how to embrace their feminine nature, because that is what we were created to be. We were created to be supporting supporters. We were created to help a man, you know,
okay.
Help a man. The Bible calls us helpmeets, and that's exactly what we are. And a lot of times when a woman has stepped into a masculine role, she is trying to force that man to do or to be something that she wants him to be, instead of allowing God to direct and guide that man in the way that he desires, so that he can, you know, live his purpose. But, you know, when it comes to masculine and feminine energy, a lot of that has to do with the experiences that we've had as individuals. Some of us were raised in single-parent homes with a mother who had to be both man and woman, husband and wife, you know, disciplinarian and caretaker. And so as a young boy, seeing the mom do and be everything, he doesn't quite understand what he's supposed to be as a man, because he hasn't had that demonstration in the home. How does a man and a woman function together? And so when he gets out on his own and he's looking for a woman that's like mom, a strong woman, you know, and all women are strong, regardless if you are masculine or feminine, you know, we're all strong. But, you know, the same is true with a woman who was raised by a woman and not had that man in the household. She doesn't really know how to allow someone to lead her. She doesn't really know how to trust a man, and she doesn't know the joy of just being a woman and not having to be both man and woman. There's a lot of joy in just being a woman, and there's a lot of joy that men get from being a man, and we have to allow each other the space and encourage each other to be that for one another. But that's a whole other topic in itself.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to the next question. What about agape love? What is agape love?
Agape love is the love of God. It is a unconditional love. It is regardless of what you've done or what you have not done. It is a true godly love. It is forgiving. It is accepting. It is nourishing. It's uplifting. And it's very pure, when, you know, and very few people have really truly experienced agape love, where it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to do anything to take that away. You're not going to ever do anything to not deserve that love. It's just, it's love in its purest form, and it is energizing, and it's filling, beautiful.
It's beautiful. Okay. All right. And it's love, just the love between a person and God. Is that what you're saying?
It's the love that God has for you. It's
just
the love
that God has for you.
Yes. It is the love. It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was reading your bio, and I took a question from your bio. Why do you believe that people are love?
Well, I believe that people are love because God is love, as it says in the Bible. And it also says that out of all of God's creations, God created us in his image and likeness. His image and his likeness is love. He is a force of love. He can do nothing but love. And if we were created from love, we are love. That's why, you know, there is no baby that anybody has ever seen, a baby that is not giggling and happy and joyous, and every toddler just wants to do nothing but hug and kiss and share. And, you know, as innocents, when we come into this world, children, they give agape love. That's all that they know. They don't have any, they haven't been burned by the world. You know, they're just love, just pure little vessels of love. And it's as we grow and experience things and get hurt and disappointed that we start to, out of trying to protect ourselves, put up walls
and
barriers.
We put a shield on ourselves. Kind of
exactly.
Like a shield.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily to keep people out. It's to keep ourselves from being hurt. Because
a protective shield.
Exactly. We put up these barriers. But, you know, you can see it in any and every child, in their eyes, you know, in their actions. When they wake up in the morning, you know, they're just loving. And so, you know, we are love because we are made in God's image and likeness.
All right, we're going to go to break, and we're going to come back and talk to Danny Lovestrong. We have on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Danny Lovestrong. Danny, what about forgiveness?
Ooh.
Why is it good to forgive others?
Why is it good to forgive others? Now, I am the forgiveness queen. Oh, my goodness. Didn't know that it was, you know, growing up, I was always told by people that I forgive too easily, or I was told, you know, yeah, I'm too forgiving. I don't hold things for too long. And for the longest time, I thought that maybe that wasn't a good thing. Maybe I wouldn't have been taken for granted or taken advantage of in my younger years if I hadn't been so forgiving and if I had held grudges and this, that, and the other. But later in life, I learned that that's just, you know, that's my nature. And it wasn't until I really started walking in God and really studying the Word and committing myself, giving and serving in the church, that I realized that forgiveness is really the way that we should all be living, and that there was nothing wrong with me being forgiving. And the reason for that is, in order to really give or receive love the way that you're supposed to, that God designed us to, in order to really just live a life that is enjoyable and happy, you have to exercise forgiveness. When you forgive someone of something that they've done, it does not mean that you are saying, it's okay, what you did to me is okay. It's not saying that. What it is doing is releasing yourself. You're freeing yourself from that negative energy that is held when you remember and when you, you know, hold on to resentment and anger and frustration. You're freeing yourself. You're opening yourself up to love, because there is no love without forgiveness. And so by my ability to forgive, and I'll say I don't forget, but I do forgive, my ability to forgive has allowed me to live a life that is really carefree. I'm not walking around with this shield trying to protect myself. I know that, yeah, there are people in this world who will let me down and disappoint me and hurt me. But I also know that, you know, static on the line. Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry about this. I got disconnected. Danny, are you still on Show Talk? I guess not. Sorry about that, listeners. I hope you enjoyed the show. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm having technical difficulties, but I'm going to finish the show. Is there anything else you'd like to, I know you are a Blog Talk Radio host. Would you like to tell my listeners where they can go to you?
Sure. the name of my Blog Talk Radio show is The Danny Lovestrong Show, and you can find that on Blog Talk Radio. I also have a weekly newsletter that goes out. It's called Lovestrong Letters, where I will answer questions or topics that have come up in the form of a love letter. I also have a website, DannyLovestrong.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Danny Lovestrong, and that's DannyLovestrong. I'm very active on Facebook. I have a Facebook group there called Strong Lovers, and you can also find my official page, which is Danny Lovestrong, on Facebook as well.
All right. I love your website and blog that you had, the video of First Lady Michelle Obama.
Yes. And you know, that I'm glad you mentioned that. I also have a YouTube channel, and that is also Danny Lovestrong. And I thank you for your compliments.
And I enjoyed the show, and I thank you for coming on the show. I thank you for being patient with me and all my questions.
Oh, I love your questions. Your questions are deep.
Very made you think deep. A little. They're deep.
They do
yes,
make
they're
you
deep.
Think.
I put a lot of thought into them. All right. Thank you for coming on Show Talk.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Danny Lovestrong. All right, listeners, we've had with us tonight Danny Lovestrong. She's talking about healthy relationships, forgiveness, love, and different topics, agape love. So if you enjoyed the show, go back to. And thank you for tuning in to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Everyone, have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, Danny.